I want to talk to you this morning about finding your place. You know, one of the things that happens in life is that we have to find a place to live. And, you know, sometimes it's an apartment and sometimes it's a house or a condo or rent a room somewhere, you know. But no matter what kind of place you need, you have to look for the right place. And that's true in the natural, but it's also true in the spiritual. Now turn to Mark 10:35. This morning, this is just a little teaching to the church, to my people. And if you'll listen, I think it'll help some of you. Okay. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may set one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. And are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They said to him, "We're able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink with the baptism I am baptized. You will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or my left hand is not mine to give, but is for those whom it is prepared." Now I want to look at several things here for just a moment. James and John stated what they wanted to do. They wanted to set one on the right and one on the left hand of Jesus. And Jesus said to them, James and John, "You don't really know what you're asking for." And then thirdly, Jesus indicated that there's a place prepared and assigned for everyone. Now, I bring this incident to your attention because very often people approach finding their place in the church with being focused on what they want to do. Or they decide that they want to do something that somebody else is doing because it looks like a good job to do. You know, and then sometimes when they get that and they get to that place and they find out it's from the inside, it's not what it looked like looking at it from the outside. Come on now. You know, actually, it's best to try to follow God's place for you in the church. You know, that's where you're going to be the most satisfied. That's where you're going to be more effective for the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage all of you to realize that every one of us have a position to fulfill here in Rhema Bible Church. We don't need just to be pew setters. We need to be involved. I am always pushing people to be involved. And one of the reasons I push people to be involved, and I'll probably say this again, is because I know that when people are involved, there is more fulfillment in their life. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, turn there while I say you're a part of a body. Now you need to discover your place therein. In 1 Corinthians 12:12. Okay. I'm watching people when they find it. Some got their iPad, some got their phone, some got their hard copy Bible, and some people got all three going. Okay. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body being many are one body, so is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body,' Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Now here the Apostle Paul is comparing the church, and we can realize the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the church. But then I believe it applies to the local churches also. And he was talking to the local church there in Corinth about this particular thing. And one of the reasons was is because there was a bunch of people that weren't doing anything and were becoming busybodies. You can read it there if you go read all. How many have read that in there in Corinthians, you know? They just weren't doing it. So, you know, and just as there are various parts of the human anatomy that each part has its function. And it is necessary and important. Now, sometimes people in the church get the idea that if they're not up front being seen, that they're not important and that God doesn't look on them as being anything. And yet he says here that they're all important. If you want to find out how important your little toe is, get up in the middle of the night and go stumbling around and then hit a chair or something. I've been there and done that. I got up years ago to go and went in the kitchen to get me a drink. And coming back, I stumped my little toe. My wife had told me she had moved a chair, but I had forgot about it. I hit that. And man, you know, you don't pay much attention to your little toe until you hit it like that, and it swells up and turns blue and black and green, and you can hardly walk. Your balance is all off. Come on. You know, they you can go do some research and they tell you that if you lose some of your toes, you have to learn how to rebalance yourself. Because they, even though they don't seem important, they help you in your balance. I got any medical people in here that know about that? That's a correct statement. So, hey, we need to find our place in the church and successfully and effectively do our part. You know, when people don't know where their place is or what's going on, they get frustrated. And this causes problems in the church. They start to yak among themselves. Well, I don't understand why this. Now, y'all all looking at me, but hey, this is the church family. And it's my responsibility to try to help you to grow to become who you should become. Now, you need to take these same principles that I'm talking about and use them in your natural life. Come on. Find where you fit in. You know, there are probably many more, but I got about three approaches that I find that people in the church do. And that is, you know, in finding a place, they dream about it. They dream about being in a position. And they pray that God will sovereignly move and put them in that position, but they never do anything to qualify for it. And, you know, they never do anything on their own. It's not going to happen. All they do is dream about it. There are many people that do this in the natural. They dream about stuff. They dream about getting promotion on the job, but they never go get any more training that would qualify them to move into that position. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Don't sit down on me. I'm just telling you, the straight of it today. I'm talking to you about what God expects out of you and out of me and out of all of us as being in the church and a part of the church. It's a great opportunity to say amen. I guess all of you have decided y'all not going to say amen to me this morning. Well, it don't make no difference. I'm going to preach anyway. Because I learned a long time ago, I don't have to have any inspiration. If you don't inspire me, I'll inspire myself. That's good preaching, Hagin. Go ahead. I believe I will. Thank you. Now, there are some people. These things happen in the natural, too. They drift from place to place. You know, they drift from church to church. Or you ever seen anybody just sort of drift from job to job, never stays at a job very long, ago, moves around? You know, they're looking for an opportunity. And when the opportunity that they want never comes along, they move on down the road. They're drifters. They just drift around in life, and they drift in natural, and they drift around spiritually. You know, you never can accomplish anything if you don't stay long enough. You know, some people want to happen fast. And then there's some people that are movers. They're continually on the move. They move here, they move there, they go over here. I believe this is what God wants me to do now. They run over there. And because they find out it's just like it was where they come from there, so they go to another place. Come on. Go to another church. And it's just like it was there. You see, they don't realize that they've got to become comfortable in their self, comfortable with who they are, find a place, sit down in it, and begin to produce something. You know, people try to fit themselves into places that they're not designed for. I find that causes more frustration and disappointment than anything around, because they try to fit themselves into something that they don't even have the talent for. You know, I've run into a lot of people that they want to be up teaching and speaking, yet when you give them the opportunity, they get so afraid that they start throwing up, and some of them say, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, and somebody has to go do it for them. I've seen it happen. I started Raymond Bible College in 1974, and I don't know how many people that were studying to be and wanting to be a pastor, and you put them up to speak, and they I can't do it. Oh, they get sick, run off of the platform. You know, I mean, they were just, all they were speaking to was their classmates. Hey, if that's not you, then find somewhere else where you can function. You know, when people can't find something to get involved with in the church, they become disappointed and frustrated. And if they're not careful, they'll become disillusioned and leave and go to another church trying to find their place. And they can't find it there because they are not putting themselves in a position where they can actually function. You know, after a while, these people become so frustrated and so disappointed, they quit going to church altogether. And that's exactly what the devil wants them to do. You see, God has designed for you to be a part and involved. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a part and involved. Okay, involved means be doing something. Now, all of you come here every Sunday morning, and you see these same guys with the blue shirts on. All y'all stand up. All y'all, these guys are called ushers, and they do a great job. Now, they may operate in another area, too. You can sit down, guys. They may operate in some other areas, too, but this is one of the areas that they operate in. And you'll see them doing that. They know that that's part of what they do. Yet, in the natural, some of them have, you know, here they are sitting being an usher underneath my leadership, and yet in other places, they're the leader. You know. I mean, here's a retired colonel in the Air Force. But he was an usher whenever he was a colonel in the Air Force. Yet, I mean, he had a top position. But then he comes down because he realizes in the position in the body of Christ here in the church, that is where he needs to operate. Hello. You see, what I'm trying to talk to you about is that God has designed you to be a part of the body of Christ in this church, and this is where you fulfill what you're doing. Many times, many people fulfill to several different areas, and then sometimes they start in one area and move to another area. Hello. You know, you know, I don't mean this wrong now. I thank God for every one of people that are involved in every position. But there are some times that some people apply and want to get into a position that they're not ready for that position yet. So we suggest they get in another position. Now, I know you ain't going to say amen on that one, but it's the truth. Have you ever worked at a job where you had to, you wanted this other position, but there's no way they're going to give it to you because you're not ready for that position? Hello. It's the same way in the church, people. It's the same way. See, God has designed you to be a part of this body of Christ right here. You're part of the body of Christ, and he designed you to be a part of this church. Hello. Now, talking about these ushers, I just looked down here. Here's a man they call Farmer Tom. Now, Farmer Tom goes out and he does kids' crusades. Okay? But when he comes here to Rhema Church, he functions in this position. See, help me understand what I'm trying to say to you today. I'm trying to get all of you to realize that each one of you have a position that we need you to fulfill in the church. And when all of us get together and do what we each one can do, then the body, the church body functions properly, and we don't have to ask for helpers in the children. We don't have to ask for helpers here or helpers there. Everybody just automatically pops up, gets in position, and it's accomplished. Come on. 1 Corinthians here, 12:18 says, but God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. He gets you in positions because that's where he wants you to be. Now you got to see yourself as God really sees you. See, people see you one way, but you got to see yourself the way God sees you and then step and begin to do something. People saw David as a shepherd boy, but God saw him as a king. People saw Peter as a fisherman, but Jesus saw him as a leader. People saw Paul as a persecutor of the church, but God saw him as a missionary. A fellow that most of you know by the name of Tony Cook has a book called Your Place on God's Dream Team. And in it, he had, I'm gonna read a little statement here, and I like it. Jesus looked beyond the clumsiness and the impulsiveness of Peter and saw an empowered preacher. Jesus saw more than a rambunctious turbulence of John. He saw the apostle of love. Jesus acknowledged the checkered past of the woman at the well, but he saw a transformed testifier. And Jesus looked beyond the rage of Saul of Tarsus and saw a church builder and an epistle writer. But I want you to notice something. Even though he saw these, they took their place and operated in different positions until they got to that point. Paul was born again on the road to Damascus. He didn't immediately go into being a missionary. He spent 3 years in the Arabian desert, Jesus teaching him. Hello? See, you may not realize it, but what you're doing is preparing you for something else. Oh, I don't like going in there working with the kids. Well, if you're not willing to work with the kids, you'll never be willing to be a leader of adults. I'm serious. If it's beneath your dignity to work in the parking lot, then you'll never work anywhere else in the kingdom. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I'm associate pastor. I'm out mowing the grass, digging ditches to pour foundation for the youth building. And my buddy drives by. I thought you was the associate pastor. I said, I am. He said, well, what are you doing this? This is manual labor. I said, this is what needs to be done right now. Let me tell you what, if I wouldn't have been willing to pour concrete, build walls, put tire on the roof, I wouldn't be standing here today. See, you gotta realize that you have more in you than you think you do. But don't try, or some of you realize, hey, I got this. But hey, you got to get there. You don't start there. You start by being a minister of helps in some area in the church. I've said this for years, and I know that Bill will agree with me and Ted, probably Marvin too. But I have seen guys that have been ushers going way back, and they have served people and served the people. I've seen them go out and start churches and become successful. I've seen people come to Rhema, come to this church, and just get involved serving God, and I've seen them become very successful on their job. Why? Because they're willing to do something for God and work in the church. Now, I realize that I'm not going to get a bunch of people shouting this morning. But this is what you need to do. And if you're watching there on the internet and there, you need to get involved somewhere. Hello. Now, look at Judges 6. We're talking about how God sees you. See, you got to see yourself doing something before you can do it. You got to see yourself the way God sees you. Judges 6:12, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our forefathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered his hand to Midian. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? He said, so he said to him, oh, my Lord, How can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in the father's house. And the Lord said, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites. Now, God saw himself in one way. He was the smallest and the weakest and so forth and so on. But God said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Surely I will be with you and you will defeat the Midianites. See, one reason God sees us different is because he can see what's on the inside of us. Nobody ever saw this mischievous lad ever being where I am today. In fact, in Bible school, and I'm not going to name them, but there's four of us guys, our last name all begin with H, and I was talking to a couple of them one day. Now, we didn't do anything. We weren't sinners. We wasn't doing anything bad. We were just mischievous 18-year-olds, you know? Nobody ever saw us being where we are today, every one of us. But God did. And all we did was just go to work for him wherever we could. There were many of them that started out, but they never accomplished anything because they were those that thought that they was something, thought that they were going to do something, but they never did do anything. See, I want you to see 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I refused him. For the Lord does not see a man see as a man sees. For a man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. David's family saw him as qualified to be a shepherd. But God saw the potential for the king. You know, based on your appearance, your family lineage, your hometown, your economic status, your educational level, and so forth, some people will decide whether you're capable or not. That's not, God doesn't do it that way. He looks at the potential of what you have on the inside of you. However, as we look at this, we got to take into account the power of God that will help our potential be what it is. We say all the time in different areas of life, they have great potential. Right? Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Have great potential. But two things happen to people with great potential. Either they get the big head and think they're better than they are, or they just humble themselves and go to work and come out on top. Now, if you're not careful, if you got great potential and you begin to think of yourself more highly than you ought, Paul said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. I imagine the colonel, because he flew F-16s, there's a lot of guys had a lot of potential. And I mean, he's seen these guys, thought, man, I am really good. And they crashed and burned, too. Some of them physically, and some of them that's just a figure of speech. They didn't make, they flunked out. And there were other guys that might not have had as much potential, excuse me, but they were willing to go to work. And they got the wings, and the other guys didn't. You ever seen guys like that? Yeah. How many of you have seen people like that in your jobs, where your jobs are? They had the potential, but they never made it because they thought of themselves more highly and they never put themselves into it. See, you've got to realize, hey, I have the potential, but without going to work and letting God work with me and put me in this place and that place and this place and that place, I'll never reach it. David was anointed king a long time before he ever become king. He worked in the king's house, played music for it. Hello. Then he had to run from him. But he finally got there. See, sometimes when you're trying to find your place, you have to listen to the voice on the inside. You ever notice that you use a GPS or one of these apps on your phone, you know, and this little voice talks to you. Says, proceed for 15 miles and then turn right. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Well, see, we need to listen to the little voice that's on the inside of us. I personally text about 40 or so ministers every Sunday morning. This morning I text them. When I text them, I said, have a great day, but remember, listen to your heart. That's where the Holy Spirit speaks. I got a book out there called Listen to Your Heart. You might want to go read it. If you got it, you may want to read it again. See, the Holy Spirit speaks to us to help us keep us on the right path. Now, when you listen at that app and you get off of the road, you miss the turn, it tells you. It keeps saying to you, do a U-turn. Anybody ever heard it say that? Yeah. It's trying to get you back on track. The Holy Spirit will do the same thing. Many times when you get off, the Holy Spirit will keep saying, oh, no, that's just me. That's just me. I'm over here. I'm doing this job. This is what I want to do, and I really enjoy doing this. And all the time, the Holy Spirit on the inside saying, do a U-turn. Come on now. It's the truth. I've heard my dad say it many times, and I've told people this many times. If you miss it, he used to say, if you miss it, don't try to get back, go back to where you missed it and start from that point. The Holy Spirit knows where you fit in better than anybody else. You know, as you begin to find your place, you've got to realize what your gifts and talents are. Every one of us have gifts and talents. Some of you have never developed your talents. Some of you have never used them. But you've got giftings and you've got talents and you've got strengths. I guess I could sing if I have to, but I'm not about to get up here on this front line and sing. Hello. I know what I can do and what I can't do. In this ministry, I started out working in this ministry when I was 31, 32. And I tell people all the time, I've done everything that there is to do in this ministry except work, do that IT stuff. I can't do it. I'm not even going to try. But you see, I didn't start out where I am today. with this ministry. I started out being a crusade director, loading and unloading boxes and setting up crusades and being the platform man, and that's it. Actually, I never saw myself being in the position I'm in. But I guess God did, because he took me down the road, and I did what I would do. Wherever he led me or guided me, that's where I went to work, and I worked my head off with everything I had within me. When I was associate pastor, I gave it everything I got. I didn't complain when the pastor said, hey, that men's restroom, you need to change that urinal out in there. Go in there and do that. I didn't complain. I just went in and went to work. When he told me, report for work in the morning, but don't wear a suit and tie. Wear work clothes. You're going to pour concrete. Now, I had some other associate pastors that were in my, I knew them. They were friends of mine. I had the pastor say something to them. They started griping and complaining, and they wasn't there very long. But you see, everybody needs to go to work in the church doing something. And as we all work together, then everything will be accomplished, and promotion comes to those that apply themselves. How many of you work a secular job? All right, keep your hands up. How many of you have ever seen promotion given to anybody that wasn't applying themselves? All the hands went down. Why? Because the people that get promoted are the people that are giving it everything they got where they're at, not worrying about whether they get promoted or not. Although that may be in the back of their mind, they may think that I can do this job, but they work where they're at. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Now, these principles that I'm talking to you about this morning work for the church, but they also work for you in the natural. You ever notice pastor likes to talk to you about stuff that works in both sides of your lives, because we're living in two worlds at the same time, a spiritual world and a natural world. God wants us to be successful in both of them. You know, Ephesians 4:16, and let me hurry up, says, for whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Another translation says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it gives the other parts it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy, grown, and full of love. You belong to this body. And as each of you contributes what you can contribute, it makes for the overall health and growth of this church. That's what helps this church to grow, is everybody contributes. You contribute with yourself, doing what you can do, working here and volunteering here, and then that helps. You help by contributing with your giving. We all help. All of us in that area. We help, the ministers help by giving what we can to you to help you to become a better Christian, help you to become a better person in the body of Christ. That's what this message is all about, to help you to grow to your potential that God wants you to grow to in your life. You know, knowing where you belong, you know, to belong means to be connected with others. Look to your right and your left. Look behind you. Look all around. Look up the balcony. Look down at the main floor. Do you realize? And now say this. We are Rhema Bible Church. which is a part of the body of Christ. All of us have a responsibility to do our part so that this body, this church, can grow and become what we need to become. See, that's not just something that you say to be saying. Actually, that's something that you need to commit to. We need to realize that spiritually, we listen to the Holy Spirit as He guides us. Naturally, we identify our strengths, our gifts, our talents. Relationally, we listen to what the Word of God has to say, to what more mature people in the body of Christ has to say, and we look at people as they begin to talk to us about our talents and our strengths, our gifts. And when each person does these things, then we can all come together and do our part. There's no big I's or little U's. It's everybody being in their place doing their job. The people that have been on a sports team, people that have been in a marching band or been in a choir, everybody has a responsibility and a position to be in. And if they're not there, everything doesn't go right. If you're in the military and you're marching, if you're marching with that weapon and it's got the fixed bayonet, that's what I did now with the old M1 rifle. And I'm marching. We got fixed bayonets. And that sergeant out there says, to the rear march, you better be sure that you step right and turn right, or you're liable to get a bayonet up beside your neck. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, we had to move as a unit. You ever watch the marching band? They move as a unit in their formations. Watch a basketball team that's playing zone defense. They move as a unit. Everybody has to move to a position. If one guy's out of position, somebody's going to make a bucket. Somebody's going to score. As the body, the church body, all of us have a position. When we're all in the right position doing what we're supposed to do, we accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Him. This whole message this morning has been to get you to realize that you are needed in a position in this church, to get you to commit to doing that so that all of us can be where we need to be to accomplish what we need to accomplish in our lives, in our church life, in the life of the body of Christ, in our world where we live in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I trust you got something out of what I had to say today. You can take the same principles that I'm talking about today and use them in your natural life as well as spiritual. Heavenly Father, I've spoken from my heart today to the people that You've given me charge over. And I've done my best to encourage every one of them to find a place and to get in it and to get involved. Father, I pray that the part of this message that was needed by every individual under the sound of my voice will be indelibly stamped in their hearts, and that they will arise and make adjustments and move and get involved. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. and I'm not going to diminish the sermon by saying this, but I wasn't scolding you. I'm simply trying to help you to get where you need to get with God so this church can accomplish what it needs to accomplish. Everybody stand. How many understand where Pastor is coming from this morning? I realize I was direct. I realize I was very, very strong, and I don't take any of it back. Because unless we all get together and work together, we're never going to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish. Thank God for what we have accomplished. Amen. We give glory to God for that. But there's a whole lot more. We haven't scratched the surface yet of what God wants us to accomplish. How many of you are with me? You're with me. You believe in what I said this morning. How many of you are ready to get involved? I realize some of you already involved. Get involved more. Some of you not involved, get involved. Thank you, Jesus. I realize, bow your heads for just a moment, I realize this wasn't a salvation message. But there's no way that you can get involved with Christ until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So if you happen to be in here today and you need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve Christ, and you need to rededicate your life, or you say, I'd like to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance, Acts 2:4. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand right now. Anybody, anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, any hands, anybody, anywhere. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I want everybody, ushers included, I want everybody to close your eyes. I don't want anybody looking around. Musicians, I don't want you looking around. I don't want nobody looking around. Nobody. How many would say with an upraised hand, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, I'm not going to ask you to do anything, with an upraised hand would say, Pastor, you were talking to me this morning and I intend to do something about it. Let me see your hand, wherever you're at. Good. Put them down. That was your commitment to God. So make sure you do something about it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.